I'd like to say good morning to everyone on Facebook Live, everyone listening on the phone lines, everybody that's out in the parking lot. Thank you for worshiping with us on this day. I'd like to say thank you to this wonderful praise team out here. We thank you. Thank you. Let's give them another selection.
Thank you.
for assurance. Amen. Very own pastor, Reverend Thompson. Amen.
Oh,
everything you need. Everything. God be the glory. What a privilege it is to be in the presence of the Lord and to be in your presence this morning. Thank God for each and every heart that's here today, each and every heart that's on Facebook Live as we go to God in prayer and go to the Word for instruction. Lord, prepare me to be a living sanctuary for you. And with thanksgiving, Lord, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Father, as we come now to sit at your feet, to get your instruction, to hear what you're about to say to us, God, we pray for strength to change. We pray for the intelligence, God, to listen. We pray for patience, God, to wait until you move in our lives. And then, God, we pray that we know that your word will not return void unto us. God, as I stand here in front of your people, not your preacher, but just your vessel, I ask you, Lord, you will strengthen me one more time to preach your word with clarity, with authority, God, that the church may be edified, and you will be glorified, and the devil will be horrified. In Jesus' name I pray, let the faithful of God say amen. This morning I want to invite your attention to the Gospel of St. Matthew, verse 26, and I'll try to tarry because I know that it's getting warm. Amen. But Matthew's Gospel, the 26th chapter, I'll begin reading at the 20th verse. You can catch up with me. You can go back and look at it, or you can write it down. NIV reads, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, surely not our Lord. Jesus replied, the one that dips his head into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. I want to speak to you from a subject quickly this morning, the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. The betrayal of Judas Iscariot. There are many writers who say, and they proclaim and debate, theologians do, that Judas was really not a bad man. Say that Judas was following the mandate of Jesus because Jesus had to go to the cross. And so Judas had a providential appointment from God where he would be the one to betray Jesus. Therefore, people proclaim that Judas was really not a bad man. But I'm going to tell you right now that he was. Because if you follow the theologians, you're going to go wrong. If you follow me, you will go wrong. If you follow those in this world with a whole lot of intelligence, you will go wrong. But if you follow the word of God, there's no way you can go wrong. The word of God will stand forever. The word of God is true. The word of God is direction. The word of God will give you a foothold and a place to stand. I tell you today that Judas Iscariot was not coerced. I tell you that Jesus was not pushed into betraying Jesus Christ. This is not true, Brother Cliff. He was chosen by Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 70, Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven. I am the bread that comes down from heaven. And then in verse 70 in chapter 6 of John, he says, I have chosen Judas, and he is a devil. So Judas went the extra mile to betray Jesus. He meant to betray Jesus. Judas Iscariot was a wicked man. He was a deceptive man. He was an example of deceit. Amen. Every church has a Judas. Every family has a Judas. Every business or organization, wherever you work, there is a Judas. But don't get it twisted, because all of us need Judas. See, without Judas, we would become comfortable. Without Judas, we would forget to pray. Without Judas, we would not reach our goal and our destination. But never forget that Judas Iscariot was a wicked, deceptive man. And I tell you that all of us do need Judas.
We need him because he will make you enhance your goal. Judas will enhance your prayer life. Judas, with the aid of Jesus, what he will do is he will cause you to have the anointing. The anointing is the ability to do what God has called you to do despite opposition. Each one of us has an anointing. You have a call from God to do what God told you to do, not what he told someone else to do. You have an anointing to do what he told you to do. So Judas will help you to get there. Judas will also give you what I call the exercise of discernment. Discernment is the ability to discern between good and evil. It is the ability to stand and look and like God and let the Holy Spirit come upon you. And people can be talking and they can be laughing and they can be smiling and they can swear out they are on your side. But if you got the Holy Spirit, you will be able to look to the inside of their heart to realize whether they are good or whether they are evil. It's the ability to see beyond the smile, to look beyond the heart. So Judas betrayed Jesus. He looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, I'm here. He was with Jesus wherever Jesus went. Except when he took Peter, James, and John to certain places, Judas was there. Amen. But the question is not who Judas is, but we have to look at who the Lord is and what he's trying to do, not only then in scripture time, but what are we to do as the church now? What's God's goal? God came to give us abundant life. If you're writing or you're thinking, John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief, Judas was a thief. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Jesus Christ came so that we can live life to the fullest. And if you are not living life to the fullest, it's because you are trying to do it without him. But with him, you can live life to the fullest. Jesus Christ also came, 1 Timothy 1 and 15, he comes to save. He comes to save all of those who were lost. He came so those of us who didn't have a right relationship with God the Father, through Jesus Christ, we could get in right standing with him, and whatever you ask and whatever you do would be pleasing to the Father. Not only that, Luke 19 and 10 said he did not only come to save, but he came to seek. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. Notice that some people, you don't have to try to really run and find the Lord. The Lord already knows where you are. I remember when I first started preaching, the young folk at Archer Grove would sing a song, I Found Jesus Way Out on the Hill. And that was okay then. That's Christianity 101. But you don't understand that you didn't find the Lord. The Lord found you. I wish I had somebody. Jesus came also to die. Matthew 20 and 28, he said he came to give his life as a ransom for all. Amen. For many. That's Jesus Christ. He came to die. So they didn't take his life. He really gave his life. But yet he laid it down for our sake. Ain't that a good God? Judas wanted to betray Jesus. He had many choices to do the right thing. And what's funny about this is that the Lord came, another reason he came, was to break the power of Satan over you and over me. 1 John 3 and 8, whenever you get in trouble, go back and look at that one. And you will find out that people always say the devil is busy. I don't care how busy he is. He's not better than God. God don't sleep and God don't slumber. I don't care how much power he has. He only has limited power and limited authority. But my God has all power in his hand. And if you are his child, wherever you step, you have the same power and authority as Jesus Christ. You can claim the blood. You can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can lay hands on yourself and you'll recover. You can speak to the devil and he'll stop in his tracks and back up off of you in the name of Jesus. Came to break the power. But right here in this text where we get ready to get to, it's a funny thing, you're going to see it. It's the first time I see in scripture where God the Father and Satan had the same objective. Well, preacher, what you talking about? Just attention in the text. See, Satan wanted Jesus to die, but he wanted to humiliate Jesus. He wanted to beat Jesus. He wanted to whip Jesus. He wanted to discredit Jesus. Ain't that something? But the Father, amen, wanted him to die so that he could redeem the world back unto himself. See, I don't know about you. You may already be saved. You might already be a super human agent for God. You may be an angel of the Lord. But I can tell you this morning, I'm just a wretch undone. I don't know why he loved me. I don't know why he saved me. I don't know why he keep on pulling me out of mess. All I know is every time I need him, he just keep on showing up. And so he sent Jesus to do the work. But Judas, like most said, he was coerced into betraying Jesus. I tell you that he wanted to betray Jesus. But the thing is, he had many chances to do the right thing. Amen, somebody. He was a betrayer. A betrayer is one who exposes people. They'll expose a group. They'll even expose a country and tell the weaknesses of the country and what's going on. I'm talking about a betrayer now. A betrayer is dangerous. A betrayer is an inside enemy. A betrayer is a double agent. Somebody that comes to you acting like they're one way, but they're really another way. A betrayer is a double agent. A betrayer is a politician. A two-faced person who will tell you one thing. If I get in office, I'm going to do this for you. And then you don't hear nothing from them for a while. Amen. Because they already had an agenda. So they're two-faced. They corrupt and they mislead. Judas, amen. He's supposed to be a disciple. He's supposed to be an apostle. But Judas was none but a devil. He was none but a politician. He was none but a two-faced person. But the thing is, Jesus already knew about it. He was not only a betrayer, he was a deceiver. Y'all got to watch folks who be a deceiver. What they're doing is they false in appearance. Because most folks, y'all think y'all know who Judas was. If we were back in that day, do you think you would know who he was? If you see him today, would you really know who he was? See, some of y'all think y'all know who Judas is, but you really don't. You'll mess around and mix Judas up with Peter, who preached the first sermon, amen, for the church. You'll get it all mixed up, because Peter betrayed Jesus, but Judas denied Jesus. Judas betrayed him, but Peter denied him. I'm sorry, Peter denied him, but Judas betrayed him. He had many times to accept Jesus, but he didn't. He was a deceiver. What's a deceiver? It's a person with false appearance. A deceiver is an actor. A deceiver is a hypocrite. A deceiver is a pretender. One who's acting like they're one way and they're another way. Let me help you with Judas Iscariot in John chapter 12, if you're writing. Go back and read it for yourself. Jesus was in Bethany, amen, getting ready to go to the cross. And at Bethany, on his way to the cross, Mary knew who Jesus was. So she broke down at his feet, Sister Pinky, and took all she had, an alabaster box, and broke it over his feet. They said it was not a year's wages. And Judas said, we could have took this and gave to the poor. Now let me show you that. He was a deceiver. Let me show you he was a thief. As a matter of fact, John 12 said he was a thief. Amen. He was money motivated to take Jesus out. So here it comes. When Mary broke him. Judas said, we could have used this. In other words, he was a pretender. He looked like he cared about the poor. He looked like he wanted to do good things, amen. But he was against the motivation. He was against the call of Jesus Christ. And he was a deceiver because he was a thief because he had the money bag. And all he was concerned about was the money. He was a thief. This is why I'm telling you the first point I got is, things are not always what they seem. You watch how you take folk and run them in the ground when they're going through a hard time. First of all, look back over your life when you was going through a hard time. There's some folk running you in the ground, but everybody didn't run you in the ground. Somebody prayed for you till you got better. I wish I had somebody who would pray with me for a little while. But I'm trying to tell you that there are also some who look good. Man, they play that part, don't they? And they ain't nothing but the devil. They'll come over your house. When folk come over your house and they normally don't come over your house, I want y'all to step back, go into the Holy Ghost mode of discernment and ask them the question like the prophet did. Naaman, why are you here? What do you want? You ain't never came out here before. Why are you over here? When folks just call you out the blue and they normally don't call you and they say one thing, just sit back in your spirit of discernment and watch what the true conversation is about. Because they didn't call you for that. They called you for something else. Ain't nothing but a pretender. First part, things are not always what they seem. Second thing is, that we got to change. Not just you, but I got to change. Because if we don't change, a trick don't come. If you don't change, Satan will get you. If you stay mad all the time, trying to argue all the time, trying to dispute things all the time, you're going to end up being just like Judas. You're going to begin to betray the church that God sent you to. You begin to betray the pastor that God sent to you. You will begin to betray one another as y'all come together, because y'all are not looking at it through the eyes of the Lord. You are looking at it through your own carnal fleshly eyes. Things are never what it seems. But what you talking about, Pastor Thomas? Jesus walked pure. Jesus didn't need to repent. Jesus never needed to apologize. Jesus never committed a sin, and Judas was walking right along with him. Saw him open blinded eyes. Saw him as being able to touch folk who had not walked before. And yet he told him, take up your bed and walk. This same Jesus who took 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. I'm sure Judas was there and he fed a multitude. I'm sure he was there when Jesus walked up to the tomb of Lazarus and said, roll the stone away. Amen. And Lazarus came up out the grave. I know Judas was there because that was John 11, but in John 12, Judas was still sitting there when they was at the table. 3.5 years he walked with Jesus. One who didn't have to repent, one who didn't have to apologize, one who never made a change. That's why I'm trying to tell you, don't die and go to hell from the church. Let me say it again, don't die and go to hell from the church. Don't come to listen to the word of God and then don't never change. Don't come and pray and then never change. Don't come and celebrate with the saints and sing and come together and lift up holy hands and you never change. See, God, your responsibility is the portrayal of Judas is that Judas never changed. The other ones had faults too, but they changed. I'm trying to tell you, I may have some faults, but one thing I don't have is the ability not to change. I know when I'm wrong, I know when to say I'm wrong, but I also know when I'm walking right, and everybody else can be walking left, but if God tells me to go right, baby, I'm going right, because it's the right thing to do. Some of us need to repent today. Some of us need to apologize. Some of us need to watch how we talk about one another. Let me give you another example of who Jesus was. Jesus knew who Judas was. I told you that, right? But notice this. He never did go tell the other ones who he was. I wish I had somebody. See, when we find out something about somebody, we can't wait to call and tell somebody else what we found out about them. I know I'm in the house. In John chapter 13, Jesus, minister. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. Brother Hall, he has on his clerical deacon, and he steps out of that, and he reached down and he get a towel, and he girded his waist, amen, and he stepped down and he began to wash all the disciples' feet. But you know he still washed Judas's feet, don't you? I'm trying to tell you that sometimes you got to help folk along the way until they get better, because the Bible says that the goodness of God leads to repentance. So he washed Judas' feet. But I got to admit, I don't think I could have washed his feet, amen. I might have said some things to him I shouldn't have said, amen. Then again, I might have washed his feet, but I might have pinched his toes, Jerry. I might have washed his feet, but I might have grabbed him and brought him close to me and said a prayer, because I don't know what I'd have done, but it would have been hard to do it without Jesus. Then it came to the point where he had time to repent. When Jesus washed his feet, he didn't repent. He had time to repent in the text that I read to you when they was at the table. They was there for the Lord's Supper. They thought they was there for the Passover. But the Passover was already over because the Lamb of God was sitting there with them. They didn't have to go get no lamb yet. He was already there, amen. And he was there to institute the Lord's Supper, amen. And Judas was right there. And Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. Yeah, he said, one of you is a deceiver. One of you is a backbiter. You've been walking with me all this time. You act like you was with me, but you're not with me, amen. Jesus said, but I tell you what, the one who dips his hand in the bowl with me, that's who's going to betray me. Now somebody tell me why Judas didn't repent right there. I just told you a whole lot of folk don't die and go to hell right from the pew. They come to church every Sunday, hear the word of God, hear a prayer, hear the choir sing a beautiful song, hear the musicians use their gift and talent. As a matter of fact, God already talked to you about what you need to do before you get to church. It ain't about them, it ain't about me, it's all about you. My Lord, say that Judas said he was out. The Lord said, you have said. I'm trying to tell you that sometimes when folk come around, don't do a whole lot of talking. See, that's why I mess up, because I love people and I love to talk. But sometimes you just got to sit back and let folk talk. Because out of the issues of the heart, the mouth will speak. They can start off with one thing, but what they really want to do, they're going to say it before it's all over with. Matthew 26 and 50, Judas could have been forgiven. But he didn't do that. Y'all know what he did? He had conspired with the Sanhedrin to kill Jesus. I told you he was money motivated. So for 30 pieces of silver, he sold Jesus out. Yes, he did. And then he looked, the Bible says he looked for an opportune time to turn Jesus in. And then after that, not only that, the opportune time came when Jesus was in the garden praying. And this is for somebody, when you're going through a hard time, when you're at your wit's end, when you can't talk to the person that's right there beside you, somebody that you love, somebody that you know, but you're hurting so bad you can't even tell them what you're going through, amen. You don't even know when you pray, you're waving your hand, amen. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying great drops of blood, amen, somebody. And while he was praying great drops of blood, do you know Peter, James, and John, who was already trained, the ones who Jesus trusts, they backed up off of Jesus. And they couldn't even pray no more. So I'm trying to tell you that betrayal will lead to doubt, because Thomas doubted Jesus. That betrayal will lead to denial, because Peter denied the Lord. It'll lead to fear, because John got afraid and ran away when they arrested Jesus. And then I'm telling you now, you got to watch it, because this betrayal will also lead you to not want to repent. It'll lead you to try to go back, because let me show you where I'm going with this thing. The Bible says that when a large crowd came, verse 47, chapter 26, when a large crowd came, they had clubs, they was armed, they was coming for Jesus, amen. Judas said, the one that I kissed, that's him, amen. That kiss was a sign of an affection. That was a sign of friendship. That was a sign of loyalty. So everybody hugging you ain't your friend. Everybody shaking your hand ain't your friend. You got to watch who you let touch you. Judas told them, said, I'm going to give you a signal. The one I kiss, yeah, that's him right there, and I want you to arrest him. Now, I'm in the NIV, and it don't say it, but if you go to the King James Bible, it said that Judas said to them, once you seize him, once you get a hold of him, don't let you go. And if I could rephrase that, I would preach when the devil preached a good sermon. Because he preached a good sermon. If there's somebody in here, if you ever laid a hold of Jesus, don't let him go. If he's ever saved your soul, don't let him go. If he's ever made you whole, don't let him go. If he's ever forgiven you of your sins, don't let him go. If he's ever made a way for you, don't let him go. If he put a roof over your head, don't let him go. If he put clothes on your back, don't let him go. If he put a meal on your table, don't let him go. Hold to God's unchanging hand. They arrested Jesus. Yes, they did. They arrested Jesus. Took him. Judas was upset because he didn't know that they were going to arrest Jesus. He knew he was going to arrest him, but he didn't know they was going to sentence him to death. But the thing is, some people say he was a zealot. He figured that if he sold Jesus out, amen, that the revolution would start quicker. And I'm trying to tell you, don't you get ahead of God. Stop trying to be the Holy Ghost. Stop trying to be God. Stop trying to control everybody. Stop trying to control everything. And let God be God. Let man be a liar. Let God be true. Jesus, Judas, chapter 27. I'm going, I'm closed. Chapter 27. Judas realized that Jesus had to die. Getting ready to die. He took the money that he had, 30 pieces of silk, and he came back and he told the Sanhedrin that he had made a mistake, that he had betrayed innocent blood. And the Sanhedrin said to him, what is that to us? I'm trying to tell you, folk will make you leave your church. Folk will make you leave your home. Folk will make you leave your job, amen. And then when you go back to them wanting some help and condolences, they'll say, I didn't tell you to do that. I wish I had somebody. Here it is. Here it is again. Verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse, and he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, I have sinned. He said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. Listen what I'm saying. Judas didn't repent. Judas was remorseful. Remorse is when you're doing your dirt and you get caught. And when you get caught, you cry a few crocodile tears and you say, I'm sorry and I won't do it again. But repentance is when you break down. Repentance is whatever you're doing and you know it's not godly, you decide not to do it no more, and you turn from that way and you turn to the right way. Turn from running to deceit to running to gold. Amen. The portrayal of Judas teaches us. Watch it when you start drifting from God. Watch it when you start talking about God's program. Watch it when you start talking about God's people. Watch it when you start drifting, amen. Watch it when you start heading back to the world. You got to watch yourself. The question I got to ask you and I'm done. Is there anybody who just want to repent? You don't have to get out your car. You don't have to come up here. Just do it right now. It's not about me. It's all about you. Because think about this. You got to repent for yourself. I got to repent for myself. We are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And let me tell you another thing before I leave. Stop trying to do stuff in the spiritual way, in a carnal way. Stop trying to operate God's church through the flesh. What you think and what you feel. And start operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says it like this. That our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can run me down, but I can pray, and God will make a way out of no way. The enemy can come and take something from you. Go ahead on and take it. Matter of fact, I'll help you tone it out the house. Because when you take it out the house, God will send something out. I wish I had somebody. You can't stop God from doing what God's going to do in your life. Just keep on trusting Him. Watch out for the trail of Judas. Because we get ready to go to communion, you got to ask yourself. Judas asked the question. All the disciples said, he said, somebody going to betray me. He said, Lord, is it? They said, Lord, is it I? Am I going to do it? And then Judas asked the question himself, am I going to do it? You better ask yourself that today before you leave this church. Don't take for granted that you're going to live through the night out. Don't take for granted that you're going to wake up in the morning. I know you got plans tomorrow. I'm going to do this and tomorrow. You don't know what God has in store for you. Man, Luke 12, them bigger bars, because he said, I'm going to store my stuff in bars. And then that night, the Lord said, that's food. That soul is required in hell tonight. Amen. You got to get it right today. And those of you who have not accepted Jesus Christ, this is the time to accept Him for yourself. And then for the other ones, I want to tell you that if you say, hold on to God's unchanging hand, body might be hurting, might not understand what's going on in this coronavirus. Folks have started back shooting and killing and murdering and doing all these crazy things. I'm telling you this morning to hold on to God's unchanging hand. My favorite hymn, I want to hear y'all sing. If I ever make it back in this church, y'all, I want to hear y'all sing page 188, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, don't do it. Hold to God's unchanging hand. As we prepare for communion, I'm going to ask my deacons if they would come up and buy a little social distancing. Bring your mask. Do everybody have communion? If not, I want you to raise your hand outside your car. Let Brother Tromson know that you need communion. Amen. All right. Got one there. Is there anybody else? One there. All right. Anybody else? Give us some of the music, y'all. I don't care what it is. Just don't let us have no dead spot right there, huh? Get no place to the devil. Keep on praising God. Not in the, keep on praising. All right. Have I got enough right here? Have I got enough right here? Huh? Yeah. Okay, what you got some up there? Okay, he might have me. I think we're just going with this. Yeah.
Richard.